In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As with all things, I don't need to turn the microphone on, do I? Can you hear me well?
Yes.
You in the back? I'm staring at you eyeball to eyeball. Okay. It's the only time she's silent. So, this portion that we think about today comes because we are entering into the time of preparation to receive the incarnate Logos in the most immaculate, the most gentle and beautiful way possible, that with a little child. Think about when I mean, I remember being in neonatal units and, Ash's first kid, who we didn't think was going to survive, that 200-pound kid that's walking around bullying his younger brother. He was less than 6 months in gestation. And it was nip and tuck. But after you saw something that was so delicately and tenderly made, you went and you saw a room full of babies, and they were all, for the most part, screaming at the top of their lungs. And they were all red-faced and pink, and, you know, they had either blue or red tags, and they had the name of the mother tattooed with some marker. I shouldn't have said tattooed, but almost tattooed. And you see the vibrance. You see the portent. It's like one person said, you never know what a new idea is going to grow up to become. A new idea. A new idea. And this is certainly a new idea. The Logos of God taking flesh. So they want us to think about the cost of being a disciple, about being somehow worthy of this gift. Not worthy in the sense that we merited it, but worthy in the sense that at least we have the requisite sort of appreciation. You know, a kid sometimes, I remember one Christmas I got a 10-speed bicycle. Now, back in the day, my parents would make about $100 a week. And that 10-speed bicycle cost $100. It was a beautiful metallic green. It was so beautiful. And it had 10 speeds. All the kids had one speed, and I had 10 speeds. It was a wonderful bike. I was racing around. I put so many miles on that thing. And of course, I didn't realize as a child that my parent, one of them, had to work an entire week so that I could enjoy that. And we are never going to understand the gift fully that we receive with the Nativity of the Lord. But if we start to prepare, we can have a sense that will carry us forward into a greater enjoyment and appreciation. So with this gospel today, it begins with an invitation to a feast. And people said to the master of the feast, I can't come, you know, I just bought a piece of land and I have to go look at it. Or I bought a brace of oxen and I've got to go look at them. Or I just got married, I've got to go. You can't be his disciple and live that way. You can't be his disciple and live that way. If you're called by the Lord, and don't use the excuse that you are hard of hearing. Oh, is that you, Lord? Oh, no. I thought that was just a little buzzing in my ear. Was that really you when I was reading the Bible? And by the way, about that subject, I just want to say this. Most people read commentaries about what the Bible says rather than reading the Bible itself. If you look at the number of books that a person will have from St. Vladimir's or Light and Life or one of the other houses that prints this stuff, you will see that it's the pages are turned and maybe there's some yellowing where the grease of the hands come off onto it. But then you take a look at their Bible. Pristine. It's, you know, except for perhaps the dust on the cover. They don't look at the Bible at all. Hey, talk about the Bible. What do you want to say about the Bible? Do you read the Bible? It's a very, very important thing because the Lord, through the Bible, will speak to you. He's not going to send you an email, and he's not going to certainly send some saint. There's this thing going around now where there's some Protestant guy, and he was at a gas station or something, and Moses the Black appeared to him and said, go this way, and it led him to St. Anthony's Monastery. And if you believe this for a moment, I invite you to leave this church. It's unbelievable. I've been through this so many times. So many people clamoring over, we want and enjoy so much a sign. Well, what sign is going to be given? And to whom is it given? In the Bible, it's written, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And then it says, look, the Queen of the South came just because she heard about the wisdom of Solomon. Think about that. The people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of the prophet. And you're looking for what? Saint Moses the Black, I said to someone who made me very angry, I said, why doesn't Saint Moses, being black, you know, capture the attention of a bus driver who is leading a bunch of people from South Central Los Angeles to Vegas, and on that same road, make a detour to St. Anthony's Monastery. So instead of getting the one Protestant white dude, they get 40 black faces, just like his own. And St. Moses appearing in a tree on the monastery, in a tree. What, in imitation of Zacchaeus? No. Always think when you hear about the miraculous. Now, let's say I'm wrong. Let's say that there are doubters. Oh, the priest has got an axe to grind and he's making sure that the edge is very sharp. This guy, if God sent one of his saints to this guy, then what is this guy going to become? I got time. I'll wait for the Protestant the evangelical Protestant, I think he was described. He's famous now. People listen to him all the time. I'll bet fully one third of you have already listened to it. It's ridiculous. What we have is a living Lord, one who is every liturgy on the altar, present to us in his body and offering it as a sacrifice. Are we then too busy? Do we have a piece of land? Do we have a brace of oxen? Do we have a newly married? I'm always impressed by people who will say, oh, there's a bishop and he's going to be praying over at such and such a church. So, is the Lord going to be bowing to the bishop? If the Lord is amongst us peasants, the lowest of the low, is it any different then when he's with the people that are vested as though they were the celebrities, it's not the Tonight Show. It's not the Tonight Show. So you have the invitation to the feast, and then he says, the people that I've invited, his servant comes back and says, they're all busy. He says, then go and invite, and then these are the very weak, the very poor people. That's us. That's us. We don't deserve this. I've not met the person who was bold enough to say, oh, I deserve the Lord. No. No, he should have died. He should have been crucified. And he should have given his, you know, body and blood for me so that I could, you know, be in the afterlife in a good position. He should have done that. Never has anybody that I know of or heard of dared to say such a thing. If then that is the case, then what is he saying that follows after this great gift? There is a responsibility. I rode that 10-speed bicycle that I was talking to you about until it literally fell apart. And I got another 10-speed bicycle. But I locked it up. I kept the chrome polished. There was never any dirt on that bike. That bike was like a usable icon. We have many icons in the church, but I very rarely have ever seen anybody use one of our icons. You all have saints, I hope, patron saints. If we do not have your patron saint represented amongst the iconography in the church, you should let me know if it's important to you, and we will get an icon. I said many times before to parents, your children should have an icon of themselves. This is why, for example, we have Anastasia's icon. You see? And of course we have Cyril's icon. Wherever Cyril is, there he's back there. Okay. Yeah. No, we haven't got an Alexander yet. But we sure will have in the future. And we should have. Because if you pass it by, you see the one from whom all of the good feelings were engendered to your parents, such that they named their child after this saint. They named you after a saint. Why that saint? Because they had a relationship, and it should continue on. If for no other reason, out of respect to your own parents who named you that, it's really important. So the Lord says, I'm giving you this gift. And he didn't give it to the, you know, I'm not going to go into the social features of it, but we're talking about, you know, those who are sleek and well-fed, the Pharisees, the people, the Sadducees, the people that are in the top echelons of Jewish society. He gave them himself, and those people rejected him. But the poor went to him. The poor investigated. The poor were not there to test him. The poor were there to receive from him. And so then it starts speaking in this gospel today about if anything is going to get in the way of your relationship to this great gift, then set it aside. No, we don't hate our parents, and we have natural affection for all of the people that are in our family. And we're told furthermore to love your enemies, to do good to those who abuse you. You know, we're commanded. He said that all the people in the world will know that you are my disciples. It's because you love one another. So how does he say you have to hate your mother, hate your father, hate your brother? If they become an obstacle toward you and the gift And the church is trying to prepare you. In 41 more days, or 40 more days, this gift will come upon us. It will be January 7th, and we will receive the gift of the child. You know? And then what? Well, you know, there are some people that are very well pleased with a baby when it is first born. And then after about 6 months of no sleep, constant diaper changing, continuous problems with the ear, eye, nose, and throat, all of these things over and over, trips to the doctor. I used to call my doctor, he had a name, his name was Dr. Leonard Dower, a Jew. And I called him Dr. 100, because every time I went with my kid, it was 100, it was exactly $100. You got 250 milligrams of ampicillin. You know, you got the same old thing over and over. If I had the ability to go to the medicine cabinet and get the stuff, I could have diagnosed the problem, given the treatment, and seen it through to the conclusion. But no, Lenny, my doctor, Dr. 100, for both Mary and Macarius, both of my children, every time. And this was a time when $100 meant a lot to me, because at this time, it was one-third of my weekly salary, one-third. Maybe you don't realize this, but when I joined the church, my salary was $1,500 a month. $1,500 a month. How much do you live on? You know, for everything. Everything. No insurance, no car, no nothing. Just $1,500. So I say this not because I'm looking for sympathy, but to show you I was so willing to pay that $100 to make sure that my kids were perfect. So to receive the Christ child, what do you have to receive? You have to first prepare a place inside you. You are the repository of this Christ child. You take the body and the blood. You accept the gift. You take responsibility for raising that child. And as you're raising that child, what you're doing is coming to maturity in Christ. Seeing him first as a baby with the little tiny baby commands, and then as an adult with the things that are much more strenuous. But we are on this road, and it's a great, great road. That's why I told you that I hope each one of you will purpose in their heart a way to find joy in this fasting. And I hope that you will listen to the implied threat that comes at the end of what we just read. You see, we are called the salt of the earth because we are to preserve all that we are given. We are to be receptacles that are supposed to pour out all of what the Lord and the church provide for us, the coming generations, and to sustain those among us while we are alive. But when we fail to be preservative, and we are no longer fit for the land or the dunghill, it's written, people will throw us away. And who are the people? Well, those who were preserving, those who were being careful, those who were his disciples and who gave their lives. So let us move forward with some joy into the Nativity fast, and let us think about this very deep gift, this very deep gift. And let us then embrace it the way that I did that 10-speed bike, keeping it to the very end until it... Well, you know, Schwinn also had planned obsolescence. But we are to go forever. We love our Lord, and I know all of you do as well. I just want to encourage you to make sure that you are not like the person who plans, and then in the midst of your plan, you think, I'm not going to be able to finish this. Because there's no one left at that point to help you. Everyone goes to their own construction, and everyone seeks their own depth. So we're in this as a collective only insofar as we bear the name, but it is individually. I remember the last thing I will say to you, I don't know if he's still alive, the Pope's chauffeur, Yahya Gaid Abdunur. That's the Pope's driver. And he would come to my liturgies, but he would never take communion. And I said, why do you not take communion? He said, I'm the Pope's driver. I don't know if that's going to be sufficient when Yahya drives the Pope up to the pearly gates. I think Pope Shenouda will have made it in, but I don't know if they're going to let in his driver. You're in the church. You're in the church. You are physically in the church. You participate in the church, but you must participate individually with Christ in order to have salvation. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.